Hi, Warren joins us. We missed you last week.
I know. Well, I tell you, I didn't skip. I want to first say that I didn't skip out on you guys last week because of the loss, but I did skip out on you guys because of the loss. First of all, I thought we was going to win. So I had already anticipated to win, and my wife and I had had booked a party for my second oldest daughter right over at Christina's next door, Funway.
Mm-hmm.
Used to be Funway, now Stone Forge. And that party started at 12 o'clock, and our meeting started at 12:30. And being that we didn't win that game last week, knowing I wasn't going to be able to get to the party, I needed to get to that party at least at the beginning at 12 o'clock. So I went over there before I had to come to the meeting. And, of course, when I got in the meeting, there wasn't no coming out of those.
So you were so confident that you were going to win the game that you booked a party at noon, knowing that, okay, we win the game, we won't have to have any meetings here, and I'll be able to chill at the party.
I guess I was just hopeful thinking, you know what I mean, just wishing that – that was the case, but it didn't work out that way, and so I was only able to be there for about 28 minutes of my daughter's birthday party.
See, now he knows full well you can't yell at a man for being at his daughter's party.
No.
I mean, what are you going to say now? Not that I'd yell at a guy that size anyway, but now you can't say anything about it.
Well, you know, I look at myself as a stand-up guy, so I didn't want to think that, you know, I was in here when things are good and not here when things are bad.
No, we just thought you were hurt. We didn't think you were bailing. It was like, Ty Warren must be hurt. He's not here.
And he can't talk to us when he's hurt. So, hey, I asked Vince this earlier. By the way, Vince didn't show up here in person the way you did. I'll just point that out.
Oh, okay.
Zip for Vince.
That's right.
Because Vince has done that before.
I'll take that.
It's a simple question. I know there's no such thing as a perfect game.
Right.
But is that close?
It's pretty close to... I mean, when you look at it from a professional standpoint, knowing that a professional team is gonna bring some problems to the table here and there, I mean, it's about as close to the perfect as you're gonna get in this league. Yeah, I would say so.
Ty, what are these guys? You know, the guys on before us were saying, it wasn't the guys on before us. It was Dale saying it earlier. Man, the voices are starting to blur together. But Dale said earlier, you know, I wonder what Bill Belichick said to Jeff Fisher after the game. You don't say good game, because it wasn't a good game for him. But I'm wondering, what did a guy say when you're on the field and you're just crushing the guy? I mean, it's 59-0, and at one point it's 45-0. Are they saying – what are they saying, the other team?
Not really saying much. You put up what is it? 5 touchdowns in
second quarter. Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of like, all right, you know, one, they probably wasn't expecting to be in the snow like it was, and then two, I mean, I guarantee you, I mean, this the expression on their face just said, you know, I'm on the bus already and ready to go back to Tennessee, so. It wasn't really much being said out there.
Do you think guys, we're talking about professionals here. Do you think professionals want you to take it easy on them? I mean, when you're getting crushed like that, do you think, do they take it personally when you continue, your offense continues to throw the ball, continues to score? What do you think the expectation is in that situation?
I'm not really sure. And you never know what's went on behind the scenes in the past there's so many things that can lead to something like that. But I do think that a team like Tennessee, after a loss like that, and if a guy's still playing down the road and they meet up with the Patriots again, that got to be in your memory bank on how that went down. And as a Patriot player, meeting up with a Tennessee player down the road again, they got to be in your memory bank too, to know that that's in their memory bank, to, you know, be on your P's and Q's. So I really don't know what you would expect. You know what I mean? I wouldn't know. I'm happy I was on this end of it.
As a man who was born and raised in the South, and probably didn't have to face snow very much in your lifetime, have you gotten to the point now where, as a professional athlete, you look outside and go, yeah, bring that on, because I think the Patriots are now lifetime 11-0 when it snows here.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with their record, but I think it's something that the guys up here enjoy, playing in the snow. And I mean, Vince looked at me on the sideline and was like, dude, this is our weather. This is when we turn it on right here when it's cold, and, you know. And so I was like, yeah, you know, you're right. You know, we actually had a brief conversation about that on the sideline on, you know, how the cold weather and the snow and the elements up here in the Northeast works to our favor at a lot of times.
And when you're lined up across the line from them, can you sense that they're going, oh, man, I don't want to be playing in this?
Yeah, you kind of – it's not really much being said, but like I said, the gestures, the facial expressions, and the grunting and moaning and going back to the huddle after the play kind of leads you to believe that, no, I don't really want to be out here at this time right now.
The Denver Broncos were able to last week drive 98 yards on the Patriots, mm-hmm, and score. And now Vince sat here last week and said, that just can't happen. That, yep, cannot happen to us. What were your thoughts to me after the game when you were playing the game in your mind and you see them going 98 yards? What were you thinking about there?
I share the same thoughts as Vince. I mean, that can't happen. When any defense, any defensive player knows that been playing football from knee high to a duck's tail, as my uncle would say, knows that when you pin a person back that far and they have 98 yards of real estate to make up, that you can't allow them to do that. So that was definitely a downside to the loss last week.
I know he's not in your position meeting room, but he's on your defense.
Right.
Tell me what the return of Junior Seau meant to you last week.
Man, I mean, this is Junior to me, just as a person. You know, we always talk about, well, it's been talked about a lot here about, you know, guys like Vrabel, Seymour, Brewski, Rodney, guys like that leaving, that leadership. And, you know, I think the leadership part is kind of overrated because everybody shares sharing leadership on this team. But with all the turnover and all the young guys, I think what you miss is the experience, you know, the experience of being down in the game and being able to come back, the experience of being in a tight game and being able to overcome, you know what I mean? And Junior, he doesn't make up for all of that, but his experience helps in a sense that over 19, 20 years he's been playing professionally, you know that he's been in some tough situations and he can pull a young guy to the side. I can't pull every young guy to the side. Vince can't pull every young guy to the side and Brady and right on down the line, but Junior can come in and pull a lot of weight from a standpoint where he can harp on some things that need to be harped on to a younger player to make them realize that this situation is important, that situation is important, you know, because you hear from Bill. Bill speaks on it repetitively, but, you know, sometimes you just need somebody else to fill in, you know, when Bill's starting to sound like the, you know, the Charlie Brown teacher to you. when you've heard it so much and it's starting to sound like that to you, then maybe you need a guy like myself or Junior or Vince.
Like that.
So I think from that standpoint, I think it's huge to have him back on the team. And then, you know, just his presence in general. And I just love to be around him outside of football as a person. I mean, he's just a fun guy to be around and a guy that you can get a lot of wisdom from.
Charlie used to vibe with that teacher, though. He understood. Charlie would be like, oh, yeah, yes, ma'am, yes, no, yeah. No. No, I don't really see it that way, but thank you. I'm like, yo, Charlie, you understand that, man? What's up? But no, I got a phrase in my head still. From knee high to what? Duck's tail?
I don't know if you can say the AS.
No, I knew full
I got
well
you.
He
okay, because the Ducks, because it's basically up here. Yeah, okay, yeah, I got you. I got you.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
I had a feeling he had cleaned that up for us.
Yeah, the A-dash-dash.
Okay. So what else? What other phrases did your uncle have that are memorable? Sounds like he had some nice little Southern phrases
that
going.
Just,
huh?
That just came to mind.
That's funny.
But, you know, it's I mean, I got a ton of them, man. When I grew up, and surprisingly, I played sports, and I was around a younger crowd, and I usually was always the youngest guy on the organized sports team growing up.
The youngest and the biggest?
The youngest and the biggest. And that's why I was with the oldest, because I was one of the biggest. But then a lot of my time, like on the weekends, I used to hate having, like, spending the night over some my friends. That would be like, man, come spend the night at my house. And I go spend the night at the house, and I would hate going over a friend's house that asked me to come spend the night, and they sleep to 12 or 1 o'clock. I used to hate that, you know what I mean? Because I was a guy that always woke up early. So because of that, I wasn't really big on spending the night over a friend's house when I was younger. So I used to spend a lot of time, like, with the winos and stuff under the tree.
Listen to those stories.
Listen to a lot of stories of the guys that, you know, sat under the tree and had to tell a lot of, you know, tales about whatever they had to tell tales about. And, I mean, it was crazy just sitting under the tree and hearing some of those stories. And I remember this one guy, he had to have some Thunderbird. First thing he woke up in the morning, he had to have some Thunderbird. I think they made that 12 o'clock rule because of him down there.
So, do you bring your Pepsi or a Coca Cola? I mean, or.
Oh, man. I just brung laughter, okay. Man. Laughter in my ears.
When they offer you the Thunderbird, man, you can't.
Okay. I wasn't partaking in none of that. But, I mean, some of the stories, man, I mean, just ridiculous.
45-man roster means even in a 59-0 game, you can't take every starter out.
Right.
And I'm wondering how you approach that. I mean, you work all week long for the fun of playing on Sunday.
Right.
Do you want to sit and watch a couple of series on the sidelines at the end of a blowout, or would you rather be out there playing in it?
Well, when it's a blowout like that, because of the conditions, they weren't able to pass the ball, so they just stuck to running the ball. But ideally, if the weather permitted, you would like to be in every play, just because you know if you up 45-0 that they're gonna be passing the ball and you kind of pad your stats like that, you know. But that wasn't the case, you know, in this game because the elements didn't permit. So now, you know, you in there and you just stopping the run. And yeah, I mean, that's kind of routine.
The
you
elements.
Know, it's fun, but you can't really just jump up and, you know, do a, you know, a celebration or anything like that, you know, of just tackling a guy.
The elements didn't permit, neither did their talent level for them to throw the football. I mean,
yeah.
Vince didn't look like he had any ability to throw the ball late.
Yeah. I mean, he probably was on the plane, too.
Yeah, it looked like it. It looked like that team in the second quarter just said, bye-bye.
Yeah.
We're checking out.
I know what I mean. On the sideline with us, you know, in a situation like that, too, you got to be aware of just kind of stay healthy. And I'm not saying going out there playing timid, but I'm saying when a team is blown out like that and they got another half to play, the little sneaky stuff, you know, lackadaisical play, and, you know, that's how guys get hurt, you know. Guys going out there, half A-dash-dash.
Yeah, you're right.
Or just a guy that's being pissed off because of the situation they're in and doing something stupid, you know, after the whistle or something like that. So now, you know, you playing what the players call for, but also you kind of head on the swivel because of what could happen, you know what I mean? So.
I know Vince is not a world traveler like yourself. You've probably been to London 6-7 times in your life, right?
My high school coach is up here this week, Sam Smith. We'll talk about him another day. I know y'all are kind of tight on time, but he was a guy that actually, when I could have went down one role or another, he's a coach that when I first got on varsity, he was my coach, and he stayed by the high school and used to come wail across town to come pick me up every morning. Made sure I was taking the SATs, PSATs, made sure I stop me by Chick-fil-A, give me breakfast, you know, talking about feeding, you know, giving the brain energy before going in there and getting in there and taking the test and all that good stuff. And he just played an instrumental part in my life as just a person, and then that trickled onto the field and all that stuff. But he was here, and we was talking about, you know, just being out there and playing and just talking about the game it's just always fun to have someone like him up here. And we talked about a lot of what we're talking about today.
I don't picture you going down the wrong path.
It was easy. I mean, I didn't grow up in an ideal situation. I had grew up in a single family home, and I had family members that was either using or dealing. And, I mean, it wasn't an ideal situation. Not to say I was influenced by that, but it's a lot of people that are innocent that just get caught up in the wrong situation one way or the other. So, I ended up moving to my grandfather's house later in my high school career, because when I started receiving letters and stuff, letters from colleges and stuff like that, and that's when my coach was like, hey, you know, you got an opportunity to do this and that. And I couldn't really focus the way I needed to at home, because I would have friends that, you know, just be sitting on the porch, you know, I'm knocking on the door, hey, let's play Nintendo, let's do this, let's do that. But that wasn't on my horizon, you know. And I didn't learn really about the horizon of where I wanted to be and making future plans until I met him. And so that's pretty much it. We'll talk about him one day. I can tell you so much about him.
We'll do that.
Yeah, we absolutely.
I'd be very interested in hearing it.
Yeah. We will. But you ask Ty if he's ever been to London. You know what's going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
You know what's going to happen?
I got lost up in there because that's an emotional thing for me. But London, I haven't been because I didn't ever had no money to go over there. I was in college. When I was in college, I remember the 9/11 deal. And I'm fine with flying, you know, and all that. And that's not a big deal to me. But after that 9/11 happened and all the hoopla that went on around that, I just would never really been big on just going to another country and nothing like that. So I'm excited to go. And I'm a little more at ease now. I guess you can never have your guards too far down, and even if they were down up, it ain't really much I can do about it. But at the same time, just coming into that dorm after class that day and watching those planes going to those buildings, that was like, man, I never want to go to another country. As bad as I would like to go see it, because of that, I didn't really want to go anywhere like that to see it. So, I mean, I think it's going to be a cool experience. It'll be the first time I go to Europe. It will be. But on my downtime, I'm pretty vanilla, my favorite word. I like to just, fish and family time. And, you know, I mean, when I go back home to Texas, I'm in the country, and they got the ponds and stuff out there. And, you know, the kids go out there, and they have the simple fun. They run and jumping on mattresses and we fishing, and sometimes you have so much fun, you rarely even take a bath. You just go like a day and a half or two without even taking a bath. You outdoors and having so much fun sometimes. So, I mean, traveling really not a big deal, and hasn't been a big deal for me. I mean, the farthest I've been out of country is South America to the Bahamas.
Well, congratulations on the win yesterday. I'll be pleased and look forward to having you tell us some stories at another day.
All right.
We'll do that.
We'll do.
Okay, Ty.
Good
thanks.
To see you, Ty.